Hey, all you TLLTS fans out there. We're still on break, and being July 4th, we are not going to be putting out a live show tonight in this place. We have this wonderful compilation by our listener, Wally Balljacker. And while I have not listened to the whole thing yet, because it was augmented since the first one, I do want to warn you that the material on here is probably not safe for work and not safe for children. You be the judge of it. If you are looking for the latest content, you'll have to wait until next week for our 200th episode. I have no idea what we're going to do. Well, without further ado, I want to wish you all a happy 4th of July. Wish America a happy 4th of July. And people across seas a happy summer. And enjoy.
Hells no.
Who's the best show here?
Hey, show!
The Linux Night Tech Show is on.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology.
2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Free software.
Free speech.
Open technology and open mic.
I love it.
Now,
live from the Linux Link Tech Show Studios,
here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up
and take it away.
You were going to ask for, like, the bear rug or something.
From the man with the Lemon Party t-shirt. John, do you know what Lemon Party is? Do you really know what it is? You don't want to know what it is.
You don't know what Lemon Party is?
No, tell me what the Lemon Party is.
Do we have to go over this again?
Oh, go to lemonparty.org.
Okay, hang on.
Oh, dude, we're going to hear it live.
Dane's walking around with a Lemon Party t-shirt. Just leave it at that.
which he gave
Lemon
to an
party
old
dog.
Lemonparty.org.
Which he gave to an old man.
Yeah, no, reluctantly presses the enter key.
Oh, this is old Dan. Don't hate us. Hate Dan.
Oh, my God.
And Dan's walking around with a Lemon Party. Dan's walking around with a Lemon Party t-shirt.
In what possible way has that got anything to do with Lemon?
I don't know. Pucker up, I guess.
Pucker up there, sourpuss, I guess. I don't know.
It's all right if you scroll down a little bit, but scroll back up. Oh.
It's pretty disgusting, yeah.
Wait, you know who Tub Girl is, right?
Yeah, the Chuck Fountain.
Yes, and, the Lemon Party, and Meat Spin.
Oh.
Would that be?
This is the
adult, blue ball theme.
The adult theme show.
The adult theme. And then Alan's would be like this, like, butt with a turd coming out of it.
No, man. This is the gross Alan out show. Yeah. Oh. Come on, can we pick on Alan before he pukes on the floor?
You know what? We could roll right into Fedora, or I could tell you about the hoagie guy.
I've been dying to hear about the hoagie
guy
since
about
last
the hoagie
week,
guy.
Man.
The man, the myth. The legend of the hoagie guy. I'll tell you about the hoagie guy. You sure you want to hear the hoagie guy?
Oh, I want to hear about the
hoagie guy. You want to hear about the hoagie guy. You'll like this.
I've been waiting on bated breath since last week about the hoagie guy.
Now, neither of you grew up in this area.
Nope.
So you, and did you ever hear of the Lehigh Valley Racquetball and Fitness Club?
Yeah, on the radio.
On the radio. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a racquetball fitness club, obviously. They have four locations in the Lehigh Valley, and they're 24 hours. There's one on the west end in Parkland area. There's one just outside on the outskirts of Center City, Allentown. There's the one in Bethlehem, which is right down the road from my house. And there's one in Easton. Right after I graduated college, my friends were going to the racquetball club, so I got a membership there. And it was cool because it was 24 hours, so I'd go there after work when I was doing a psychology thing. And get there around 8, 9 o'clock. Sometimes I get in there later because my hours were really flexible, midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning. And there was this guy that was always there. wearing a T-shirt that always had like a hoagie place on it. So he got the name dubbed the hoagie guy because the T-shirts that he wore were always advertising some hoagie place. Well, this guy was like weird. He had those funky looking eyes.
You think? And the shirt didn't tell that to you?
And he'd be there
you
for
call
like...
call the guy the hoagie guy.
Yeah.
Weird,
he'd be there for a while, and you never see him lifting weights, but he'd be on like the treadmill or the stair climber or something or the exercise bike for about a half an hour, 45 minutes. He'd go in and out of the locker room.
Toning those butt muscles,
yeah,
huh?
Right, he was doing something. So, but really, what really set this guy apart from everybody else, right, is when you go in the shower... Okay.
Oh man.
It was a community shower. One of those big, you know, just a big room, shower heads all around the walls, okay?
I'm having visions of the end of the story now where the hoagie guy walks in after Dan wearing nothing but a bun.
Oh, no way. You're
somebody, I think we're on the right track here though.
You're getting somewhere, but that's not it, okay?
Man.
Now, you walk in at the into the shower, and it was you basically, the door was right along the one wall, and there wasn't any shower heads along that wall. Well, actually, I think there were. It was a rectangle, so you were coming in on the shorter end of the rectangle was
right.
The door was part of the wall, and then you turn to the left, and there would be the whole shower room.
Right.
So people would be in there, and I don't know how he managed to do it. Okay, but. Every time you'd walk in there, he would be in the furthest corner on the right, okay, all the way in the back. You couldn't get any further away from the door. And he would be under the shower, turned, facing the door, okay? And guess what he was doing all the time? He was shaving his genitals in the shower.
Man.
He had his hoo-hacker pulled up as far as he could, and he was just shaving the underside of his genitals, man. And there was this big stream of shaving cream that would go, like, right down the center of the shower. And, like, you couldn't, as soon as you walked in, you couldn't miss it because he'd stand about 3 or 4 feet out from under the shower head, almost in the middle, just enough so as soon as you walked in, you would see him. And he'd be sitting there shaving away. And the meatheads would come walking in. You know, the big steroid guys. And they'd be like, oh, you son of a bitch. Do that at home. And they'd be yelling at him and cursing and throwing the F-bomb at him. And they'd kick your ass. Get out of here. Do that at home. And they'd just yell at him. And he'd stand there yelling at him. And he'd just shave away. He'd be sitting there shaving away. It was the most messed up thing in the world. And what was even weird, right, is he did this every night. So
man.
A few times, you know, we decided to go to other racquetball clubs like the West End or the Bethlehem one. He was there. He was at those clubs too. You go occasionally, like throughout the week, maybe there would be one day you wouldn't see him, and that would be a day he's at another club. But he was there at all hours too. He'd be there like 8 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's like no matter when you went
there,
he was there. He was
just waiting for you to go to the shower so he could shave his tallywhacker.
Oh, he was something.
Oh, man.
And then he'd get in the jacuzzi afterwards. And, you know, after you see that, you don't want to go in the jacuzzi anymore.
Sure, after I see that, I'm not sure I want to go to a racquetball club anymore.
Are you a member of the racquetball club?
No.
And that's a shame because, you know, one guy like that just pisses everybody off. They want to hit him with a brick or something. But you know.
You don't want to touch him at all. That's the problem.
And you got to be careful.
That's why the meatheads didn't hit him, because they were just like, yeah, get away from me with that, man.
And the people, nobody wanted to use the shower heads right next to him, of course. And you had to be careful because the shaving cream from his balls was running down the center of the shower. Oh. So it was like, oh, into the drain. It was terrible. Like, everybody would pack in at the far, at the opposite end, and he'd just be there, zip, zip, zip.
You know what? This is it right here. This is the all-time grossest episode of the Linux League type show that we've ever had, I think.
You don't think about my friend smashing his nuts in the toilet seat?
Something like that.
Yeah, I got another one for you. You're talking about that toilet before. My one friend, I don't know how he managed to do this, but one time he was going to sit down on the toilet, and first off, this was the most moronic thing to do when you're sitting down on a toilet. Usually you put the seat down, then you sit on the toilet, right? Well, he decided to ride the seat on the way down. And somehow he got his...
Oh, no, no, man. We're all sitting down here. That's already hurting because I know...
I'm starting to hurt already. His dad hasn't even done anything but make hand gestures yet, you know?
He got something stuck between the bowl and the seat.
Oh, man.
Ow.
And that's what I said. How that happened, I have no idea. He doesn't know how he did it, but he was hopping around for a while.
Oh.
And there's not a lot of space in there, huh? That just hurts.
Oh. Now I got that the chill that just, like, starts in your ankles and just goes right up your back. Man. Oh, man.
Oh, that's just wrong, man. That's just wrong. You don't, like, you know. You don't, like, tell guys stories like that, you know?
Well, it's a lesson to be learned. Do not ride the seat down.
But I knew this guy who pinched his wiener right off.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah. You know, last night...
Sorry. I was trying to, like, give something.
Finally,
here.
Alan's going to contribute.
I'm going to contribute something here.
Now, if I wanted to change my desktop... image on Enlightenment DR17. Now I have a bunch of files that I've run a script on that have converted them into EDJ files, and they're in my .e/e/backgrounds directory. But when I go to that little tool on the menu to change my background, they don't show up. You still there? Oh. Uh-oh. What did I do, Alan?
Still says connected over there.
I know, but I think I did something I shouldn't have.
What did you do?
I did something bad. Start talking, Alan.
What did you do, Dad? We'll just relate this to the audience as you're fixing whatever it is you did. All right, Dan broke the window manager. And it's a hard crash too.
Oh, there's Link.
Hey there, little lips.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you are there.
You guys actually want to talk to me now for 5 minutes before the show is over.
Yeah. Pat was just talking about his experience with Parallels.
Yeah, it doesn't work on newer kernels.
I remember having similar issues like that.
It works just fine on newer kernels. It just doesn't like you, Pat.
Are you running Parallels?
I was running Parallels just fine on a brand new kernel on Ubuntu.
Huh?
Maybe it's the version.
Maybe it's the Pat.
I know that. I remember having issues with VMware
that. It is a known issue.
Works here. Don't know what to tell you. In fact, I was running it this afternoon. This is my last day on the test version to run it. I might actually buy it because it really is good software. So,
how much is it to buy?
It's 50, right?
Is it 50?
I think
it's
so.
Bucks, I
up
think,
up
right
until
now.
A certain point, and then it's going to go to like 79.
Oh, man.
That's what Win4Lin goes for, 79, I think. Mm-hmm. Now, I did install Win4Lin. I haven't had a chance to play with it.
Now, this Win4Lin, that's strictly installing Windows, right? It's geared
yeah.
for installing
yeah,
Windows.
Yeah, it's for Windows.
It's, it's not like you could run multiple operating systems on there.
No, I think Win4Lin is built on QEMU.
It is?
I think so.
Really?
I think it is.
That QEMU is dog slow in
it
the
is
emulator
slow.
Or the virtual machine class.
Well, QEMU, you have to remember, emulates a 233 megahertz machine.
Right.
Which is, you know, pretty slow by today's standards, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Dan's chair just came unglued.
Uh-oh.
All right, man.
He's on the floor.
he farted so many times, he lost the. Killed the glue.
Oh, it's too funny.
Ate it to the floor the hard way.
Yeah, yeah. Like kicking back, I'm like, uh oh.
Hey, gravity, a bitch. You know that?
Yeah, the whole chair broke apart. That's something.
Dan blew it apart. See what happens when you eat gassy food, Dan?
Ow, my toe. Oh.
What did I do with that? That was too funny.
Wait a minute. This chair was supposed to go out in the garbage.
Yeah,
I think you threw the wrong one
out. That's the one you always give me to sit in.
Yeah. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Dan threw the wrong chair out.
That's funny. That's too funny.
Oh, well.
So anyway, like I said, I got Winferlin installed, and it seems kind of slow. I wasn't that blown away by it, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
So I was bummed.
Yeah. What version of Windows did you install in it, though?
Was it XP Professional?
Maybe that's it. Is it, you know, just XP is kind of bulky, right?
You know, though, I've run it inside of VMware, and inside of VMware it was pretty fast. So, on the same exact machine, so go figure.
Hmm. You know what? That brings to mind that VMware really, really is. I don't think you can go wrong. You know what I mean? If you get VM Player, right, which is free, like, you can't beat that.
And do the hack? You know about the hack, right?
Yeah, you can get all over the net. You can get like little blank images anyway, so that you can do whatever you want with it. But the cool part is, like, this is a free thing, and I'll tell you, after running VMware Player and Parallels, you know, to me, I think they rank just about the same over here on my Ubuntu machine. So, you know, Parallels is it's a good program. I mean, I would support it. $50, right? Parallels, $50. VMware Player, you can get for nothing. You might want to check into that, you know, if you're interested. In fact, this weekend, my father-in-law is getting a new... I'm sure all of you remember my, you know, dealings with my father-in-law's computer. Well, he needs a new computer, and he's still running his baseball game for Windows. And I won't install Windows for him anymore, so my only option, or his only option, is that he wants a new computer this weekend. I'm supposed to put it together for him, and I'm going to install his Baseball for Windows game in a VMware Player, you know, virtual machine, so that he can play that stuff. The only other option I was thinking about was going with Parallels, but, you know, that's another $50 for him. So.
The problem with Parallels is I just posted on the RSC. It's with the 2.6.16 kernel on SUSE. I don't know if it affects all the distros. But what's the latest version of Ubuntu running now?
With as much noise as it's on here tonight.
It's 2.6.15, right?
Mine's running 2.6.15.25 right now.
Yeah, the problems with 2.6.16 are greater. Apparently, there was a patch that was put in to the kernel, and it causes the installer to go into an infinite loop.
Nifty.
Round and round, round and round, round and round, round and round.
Yeah. Round and round.
So Dan, you got a new chair.
Yeah, that chair was rigged so that you would be killed on it, Pat.
But I narrowly escaped every single time.
I'm like the coyote to your roadrunner. My Acme chair blew up on me. You know what? I brought this chair up from the basement, and it was supposed to take that chair out and have it thrown out, and I don't know what happened to that. Well, all right, guys, I guess we should probably close it up, eh?
Eh? To our Canadian friends, you hosers?
Hey.
You hang on, I'll tell you a nice little story there. Speaking of, you know, having a run for the border after you eat White Castle, I got a good story. I'll tell you that after.
Jack Daniels and White Castle on American Classic.
Yeah, so.
All righty, wrap it up. Episode 93.
That's it. We'll go out with a Leo Laporte promo. Did he send you the promos in AUG format?
No, I did that. He did them live at the very end of the interview, and I just cut them and re-encoded them.
Oh, that's cool. Well, anyway. And, no, I don't want to do that.
Anything else, gentlemen?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm Pat.
Good night, everybody.
I'm Pat.
Good night.
Good night.
Al.
Good night. Good night. Good night, and good
night. Good night, John boy.
All right, here we go. We'll close out, but I'll tell you guys how.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and you're listening to the Linux Link Tech Show. You know I'm going to tap that ass, right?
White castle.
Yeah. Making it poo young in the kitchen.
I was going to die. White castle, man.
Sushi. Sushi, sushi.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
One which, I don't think I can take being in the garden.
Well, gave me with a fireball.
The Linux thing.
You just make sure you let us know when that one hits.
You guys are so weak. You have nothing to compare you to.
You know, that's a bad promo to close out. Bad to close out with, because it's like, welcome, and we're closing off. Anyway, this weekend on Sunday, I went for a run, and it was about 8 o'clock at night. And about halfway through my run, I'm at the furthest point from my house, okay? And I'm taking my dog with me. So I'm running here with my dog. All of a sudden, it hit me. I had to take a massive dump. Okay.
Ooh.
And I'm like, I'm at the worst point I could possibly be, because to the left of me are baseball fields, and to the right of me is a golf course, and there's no public bathroom anywhere.
Toilet paper, at least?
Well, but there's no woods. There's no place to really go. So, like,
squatting,
I'm like walking
the
around, like, oh, if I don't go somewhere around here, I'm never going to, it's only going to get worse, because I go start, at that point it goes along a major road. So I'm like, man, I got my dog. Luckily, with the dog, I carry a bag with me in case she goes to the bathroom.
Oh, no.
So I'm walking around the park. I'm like, I'm trying to find a place. So I find a place. There's like this building, this structure right next to the dugout, right? So I'm in between the dugout and this building, and like, it's just at this point where cars can't see me. I'm off the beaten path, so they can't see me. So I'm like, man, I ripped out my pants. I got the bag over my ass. I'm like, I got the dog leash in my mouth, and I'm trying to aim into the bag so I don't lose it, you know. So it's like, it was such a mess. And hold on to the dog with my mouth so I don't fall over.
The dog's barking.
It's like muddy and wet and everything there. And I was like, I get it all into the bag, and I'm like, man, there's no leaves to wipe with. So I was like, I'll just wipe with the inside of the bag. Starting to get really messy here, right? So I'm like, man, I got to stop this, or it's just going to be a catastrophe. So, you know, I tie the whole damn thing up, and I'm like, I can't run anymore. I'm 2.5 miles away from my house. If I try to run, I'm just going to slice my ass apart. You know,
because it's all of this. Holy shit.
So I go over, and there's a payphone. I'm calling the wife, only she's not home. I keep calling. Finally, she answers. I'm like, look, you got to come and pick me up, right? Because I had a problem. So finally, she goes and picks me up. I'm there. Man, I'm just like a wreck. I got this bag full of shit in my hand, because there's no garbage can to throw it away. I didn't want to pollute, you know?
I got a good shit story. Me and my dad.
I stank bad, man.
Me and my dad, we usually go hunting every year up in Pennsylvania.
Everybody's still listening to us on the stream, right?
Yeah.
Me and my dad, we go hunting up in like Monroe County, and there's some state lands that we usually go into. There's like the spots where you can pull in and park. Well, we got there before dawn. We pull in, and all of a sudden, we get out of the car. I see this humongous fucking turd sitting on the ground. I go to my dad. I'm like, Dad, that's not a bear shit. I think somebody took a dump right in the middle of the parking lot.
Oh, and that, you know, that's the thing, man. You go off to some of those, just like in when you go into Jersey here off of 78, I think it is. If you go down a little bit, there's a trucks area or a rest area.
Yeah,
but there's no public bathroom.
No.
So people just walk up the hill and like shit in the woods up there. It's foul.
That's fucking foul.
I had a guy who told me, you know, if you go down into Jersey, you go to this rest area and you go up. Just above, there's a nice little trail that you can walk that goes around a lake and everything. It's a nice hiking trail. So, like, we're driving up and down the area there trying to find this. Pull over, go up the hill, and it's just, like, shit all over the place.
People's shit.
It can't be the trail.
The fucking dog.
No.
People, man.
It's like, Whoa.
That's fucking nasty.
And yeah, people are not. That's why I didn't. You know, I didn't want to like just shit in the in the park there and leave it there because that's foul.
Every year when we go hunting, my dad has a ritual. He has to go take a dump in the woods.
Oh man! And you know what's nice is this is the little extra special section for the people who download the AUG. They get this extra special because I'm still recording it. But those people getting the MP3s are not going to get the extra special.
The extra special bonus.
That's it. So I'm going to close off the AUG recording
now. Do they really want the extra special bonus?
I don't know. Why not?
If they get this around lunchtime.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, it is. New. It's about 12:30 in Australia.
Well, we are streaming,
yeah,
but we're not recording it anymore.
In the woods there.
Oh, what did I say? I made a shit joke the other day during dinner, and the wife was just
that's not
like,
right, man.
she put her dinner down. It just that was the end of that for her.
There's a couple topics you shouldn't bring up while eating dinner. One is shitting. The other one is like cannibalism.
Well, if you're hungry, you bring up the shitting because then the person you're eating with won't want to eat anymore, so you can eat their food,
and you get both meals.
Yeah, so
seconds are right there on the table. You don't have to go away.
That's it. Oh.
All right, gentlemen, I'm cutting off now.
Good night, Alan.
All right, thank you, Alan. See you next week.
I'm extremely tired. All right, we'll see you all later.
You don't even have to put them on a plate. Just grab the plate from the other person.
Ugh. White Castle's so foul.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Link. Good night, Pat. And good night.
I don't have to get up for work, man. I'm on vacation.
Yeah, but I got to get up for work.
You got to get up for work.
So good night, Moon.
Good night.
Close it up. See you later.
Good night.
Bye.
Hey, Richard, if I can break in just for a second, I just have a couple of quick questions for you that are pressing me. I've been listening to the interview so far. Just a couple of things I'd like to ask you before I leave.
Go ahead.
One of them is, how do you, as a person who wholeheartedly believes in free software and the fundamental freedoms associated with that, freedoms in general, how do you justify running your free software on proprietary hardware?
I don't know what you mean by proprietary hardware. See, when I say proprietary software, I mean software that isn't free, and I have a definition of free software based on the four freedoms. So I know what proprietary software means. But that criterion doesn't make sense to apply to hardware. So you must be using some other criterion, and I don't know what it is, and
well,
what's your criteria
for free software?
Software that respects the four freedoms for the user. And these are the freedom to run the software as you wish, freedom to study the source code and change it, do what you wish, freedom to make copies and distribute them to others, and freedom to make copies of your modified versions and distribute them.
Okay, and that would be exactly and directly applicable to the hardware as well. All you have to do is replace software with hardware. Freedom to
except
study
that we don't have copiers for hardware, so the question of freedom to copy, a computer is totally meaningless.
Why
there are no
computer copiers. There are a lot of electronic technicians who would be a great object.
No technician can copy a chip. In fact, nobody can copy a chip. There are no copiers for chips, and what chips are manufactured, they're not made by copying a master chip.
But you can design a circuit to emulate that.
Ah, but that's different. That's very, very different. You see, the thing that made copying an important ethical and political issue for the public is the existence of copying machines. Machines that mean you can copy. You could copy a file. Now, in the old days, say 200 years ago, it was possible to copy a book. All you had to do was set the type and then use your printing press, and you could make more copies of that book. But that was not an automatic process. That was a very laborious process, and one that most people couldn't do, because even most people who could read and write didn't have printing presses. So it was sort of an unimportant issue whether readers were allowed to copy books. But it became an important issue once we had copiers, and it became feasible to copy a book.
So what you're saying
in the same sense,
if we had no mechanism,
software.
Right? If we had no mechanism to copy software, then the entire free software movement would be moot. Then is what you're saying.
Exactly. But the point of digital technology is it enables you to copy information. So as a result, now for any kind of information work, you can have a copy in your computer, and it is feasible to copy it. And therefore, issues about the freedom to copy become important. They become meaningful to the lives of hundreds of millions of people that have computers. But there are no such copiers for hardware. What you said, you could design a modified machine and build it. That's sort of like you could set the type for the book and print more copies.
Sure.
Except harder.
Well, you know, understandably the process is a lot harder, but, you know, it is possible to get, I mean, there are some companies that are developing, Sun, for example, is releasing specifications for an open source Spark chip.
Well, I'd rather not use the term open source, but their design, I think, is free. And I think it's good, but it's not essential. It's the fact that copying files on a computer is feasible for hundreds of millions of people that makes this freedom so important. It's not just feasible with great difficulty, but it's a straightforward use of your computer.
Okay, but where do
if
we
and when
where
copying
do we draw
hardware
the line?
Gets that easy?
Right, but where do we draw the line as to what's feasible for whom and how feasible it is? Because for most
well,
of the computer
I don't think
users
that's a
that
hard
I've met,
problem.
No, it is, because for most of the
problem.
Computer users that I've met, they have great difficulty copying, like, a text document. So we're talking
really?
About, there's a lot of different
well,
levels.
I see
that
lots
really
of
are.
People can do it.
Well, I'm sure, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who can.
But you see,
you know,
the point
design...
is, you're trying to confuse two different issues, which is how hard is it, and one is how hard is it, and the other is does the person know how. These are not the same question. So
no,
you're making the situation artificially blurry and confusing when it really is very simple.
I didn't want to make the issue or the difference in the issue at all. I wanted to make the issue. How do you justify using free software when you use them?
Right, and I'm saying
hardware?
That I don't think that the issue of that hardware presents a similar issue at all. Free hardware designs are a useful thing, but
certainly.
Hardware as such can never be free until there are hardware copiers.
Do you really need a copier or just a method to make this?
You really need a copier. If it is easy, basically, why do you want me to repeat myself? I already answered that. Do you really want me to say it again? I will. It doesn't seem very efficient. The existence of some means by which somebody could build another one is not the point. That's not enough to make this a real important issue.
You don't see that as a correlation between, you know...
No, not at all.
And making a
I see the crucial thing is difference. The difference is what matters to me here. The difference between you could build another one somehow and you can type a command and it'll copy it.
Okay, I just wanted to get that straight.
In the age of the printing press, I would not have been campaigning to reduce copyright power because it was too restrictive.
Right.
Because in those days, it really was infeasible for ordinary readers to copy books.
They didn't have pencils or pens back then?
it was infeasible. It was a gigantic amount of work to copy a book that way.
Yet they did it, you know, for hundreds
people occasionally
of years that way,
right? Did it, yes.
Occasionally,
not
they
very
made
much
300
in the last
million
century.
Bibles that way.
Yeah, not very much in the last century, though. But before that, yes, people copied more by hand, and nobody ever tried to stop them with copyright.
Right. Right, there wasn't, it was a better time back then. There wasn't such an evil thing.
Well, it's probably just that copyright was intended to be an industrial regulation on printers.
And so the politicians got a hold of it, and then they made it a regulation on, you know, humanity. Anyway, my second question is this. If, as a programmer, right, how is it that in your mind a programmer is supposed to make money if they're programming free software? Like, what's
well,
the,
who knows?
What's
why
the avenue
that they're
for,
supposed to make money? Why is
well,
it that they're supposed
need,
to make money?
Because people need to make a living. Like, this is not...
Well,
you know
that means
they
just... That just
well,
you're confused. This person may need to make a living. But what does that have to do with writing free software? You seem to be making the assumption that he has to get paid for writing the free software. What if he has a job and does that and gets paid for that?
What if he wants to write free software? You know, how is he supposed to make a living if he only likes to write free software? Or is that something
well,
that you understand is supposed
maybe
to be done in your spare time?
Maybe he can't. Maybe you have to get some other job. If you need to make money and you can't make money, if you find that nobody will pay you to write free software, I guess you've got to get another job, right?
So
this is pretty simple.
Way,
it's not rocket science.
That's what evidently it sounds that way, but I just want to establish that in your idea of a utopian society, people just, you know, give away their code.
I'm not thinking of utopian society, and you've got me wrong. You keep on trying to put words in my mouth, and I don't like it, so stop. Do you want me
to
say what I think, or do you want to try to make it hard for me to say what I think by giving your suppositions that are in confusing ways?
I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm trying to get you to answer a confusing question for me in your own
way. Right. Well, let me make the situation unconfusing. The reason it's confusing for you is that your question has linked things that should be separate. You've taken a pretty simple situation and sort of taken a question that cross-cuts against it in a way that's confusing. You'll find it much easier to understand if you change the questions you ask. It's wrong to develop non-free software, so people shouldn't do that. So,
okay, so wait.
It's
right
good
there,
to
right
develop
there.
Free software, so by all means do if you can.
I get you.
Listen, you wanted me to answer. Will you please let me answer? You're not doing anything useful by interfering with my explaining
the question
you raised.
The question
you
asked
doesn't make sense.
Programmer.
It doesn't make sense.
But if I'm asking you a question, I would know what it is.
The question you asked has an implicit presupposition, which I disagree with.
I don't mean it to have a presupposition.
The only answer to your question is I disagree with the presupposition. That's the only answer it can get.
All I want to know is if you are a programmer, right? If you are your occupation, you get up and you live and breathe to program.
That's not.
How are
no,
you
sorry,
to,
pal. I don't accept that already. I already think that you've
you
made a mistake.
To,
you've got a confusion. People aren't born with labels on them saying what it is that they can do for a living.
Perhaps that's your passion.
If you were a comedian and nobody would pay you to do comedy, you'd have to get another job, right? It's that simple. If you can't make a living programming in an ethical way, you'll have to get another job. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just capitalism.
Fine. If it's capitalism, it's capitalism. And why isn't capitalism okay with software as well?
It is. That's what I just said. If you want to program, but no one will pay you to program, then you'd have to get another job. That's true now. There are people who know how to program, but they're unemployed or they have to get other jobs because there's no demand for them. That's life.
So what you're saying is you should not be able to make money by programming.
No, I didn't say that. What I said is that there's no reason why you necessarily must be guaranteed the possibility. You may be able to make money from programming, and I've got nothing against that as long as you're programming in an ethical.
How would you make money programming for free software?
I didn't say you would. I said it might happen. Please, you're oversimplifying what I say and distorting it. I can't possibly say what I think if you just twist everything I say. I'm beginning to think that this is a useless conversation. Do you want to know what I think? Or are you trying just to make it impossible for me to speak? Is anyone else there? Are you going to host there?
Yeah.
No, you asked a question and you won't let me respond to it by clearing up the situation.
I can't even finish the question.
You did finish the question the first time.
I
understood you, but it's confused. Basically, there are several kinds of programming jobs that people can get. There are a few jobs developing proprietary software, which are unethical, and those shouldn't be done. There are a few jobs developing free software. If you get one of those, that's fine. The majority of these jobs are developing custom software. That's legitimate, too, as long as you respect the rights of your client, and you can. They don't always do so, but they could. So, most of the existing programming jobs are legitimate, and if you get one, that's fine. However, most of those jobs are doing custom software, not general-purpose free software. So, the result is that a lot of people who want to work on free software just have to do it in their spare time. And they may also be making, if they need to make a living, they'll have a job. And that job could be developing custom software, or it could be in some other field. There's nothing wrong with lots of different jobs that people could get.
Right.
The point is that there's no reason why it must be the case that people developing free software can get paid to do so. It's good when they can, and sometimes they can, but it's not necessary that this always be possible. Lots of people do develop free software in their spare time, and they have jobs of some other kind.
Sure.
So they're not starting.
The only thing I was trying to get at is the only thing I was trying to get at is that you believe it to be a decent occupation for someone to develop or to get paid developing custom software.
Yes, I do.
Okay, then how does that justify itself with wanting all software to be free?
Well, custom software can be free. Remember, free software means that the users who have copies have the four freedoms. If you develop a program for a specific client who wants a certain thing, and you provide it to him, respect giving him the four freedoms, and he chooses, so he has the right to distribute it to others, but suppose he never wants to. Well, that's okay. Freedom number two is the freedom to make copies and distribute them to others, but it's not an obligation. It means you can do it if you want to. If you happen not to want to, you don't have to.
Right.
So the result
is, if my employer pays me to develop software, and then doesn't give it away for free, that's fine.
Doesn't publish it at all. But remember, free software doesn't mean give it away for free. That's not what it means. Free software is a matter of freedom, not price.
Okay.
Selling free software is perfectly legitimate, but the reason why it's selling free software is that you respect the user's freedom. So after you sell a person a copy, he gets it with the four freedoms. Mm-hmm. And likewise, to have a free program means you're free to distribute copies. But if you choose not to distribute copies, that's okay too. Or if you feel like distributing a copy to this person today and tomorrow you choose not to distribute a copy to that person, that's okay, because each time you're free to distribute copies, but you're also free not to.
Mm-hmm. So the initially speaking, then, the only difference between proprietary software and free software is whether or not it's released to the public.
No, absolutely not.
Because if it's
the,
not...
The definition of free software is very precise.
Right, but if it's proprietary and never released, then it... then the rest of the definition doesn't hold because it never gets to a consumer.
If it's never
free or not,
if only one user has it, and that user has the four freedoms but never chooses to distribute copies, then it is free software because every user has the four freedoms. Free software does not mean it's been released to the public. Proprietary software is typically released to the public, but in a way that doesn't respect the freedom of the users that get copies. That's the thing that's wrong. To provide people copies of software, but deny them the essential freedom, that's wrong. That's mistreating those people. But to choose not to distribute a program today, that's okay. It may be unfriendly in some cases, but it's not putting a person in a position of being subjugated.
Right.
You know, if your friend asked you for a copy of a program and you said no, he might conclude you're a jerk. But that's... but if you said, yes, I'll give you a copy of the program, but I'm going to restrict you in your use of it, that would be worse than just being a jerk.
That would be unethical.
Exactly.
I have the worst time with the twat downloads. I get partial episodes like every time. I don't know what it is, but I don't think I've ever listened to a twat episode longer than 10 minutes.
Well, are you using a BashPod or are you using a real podcatcher?
I'm not using BashPod.
That's the problem right there. You use BashPod.
I use CastPod and it works fine.
CastPod.
Okay, I may need to try a different podcatcher.
Yeah, I've never had a problem. The only problem I have with any of the twat episodes is I like them, is the sound varies so much that sometimes if you're driving in a car, sometimes you can't hear a damn thing anybody's saying.
I know. What the problem is, everybody takes the episode where Droops taught you how to make a microphone out of a couple of cheapy headphones. They're taking that to heart, and I don't think it works out in the long run.
That's what I use in my car.
Like that. And, yeah. And then there's the episode where some guy's talking, and you're like trying to listen to what he's saying, and all of a sudden, like, this rap music starts. And they're like, what the hell? And that's the end of
the
episode.
What the F happened?
Yeah. What was he talking about? I thought I was going to get some tips here. I got one tip, and then it's rap music. Damn it.
The whole thing with twat is, man, it's all over the place.
It's great, though. I like
yeah,
it.
For what it is,
I
it's cool.
It. There's some really good stuff on there, definitely. I remember yours on the Fluxbox, like the menu key, or like the keys file on the, FB run or whatever. Remember you did one on, like, tweaking out Fluxbox or something?
That was on the tech show. We did that.
I thought you did a twat episode all about Fluxbox.
It's all mush.
No, I don't think I did. Let me go double
it
check.
It is mush. All the kids eat it.
I don't think I. I
oh, well.
Wait, no, I did listen to that, but I'm not going to
This was a good episode in my mind.
Yeah, Dave ripped us all off.
Yeah. Like I said, 20 minutes prep.
20 minutes prep is listening.
More than us.
I don't. You're right. I did. I was talking about Quicksilver and then doing the
we
same
haven't
thing
done 20
on the
minutes
Fluxbox.
Prep this year.
There you go. See?
Yeah, okay.
That's
You're right. I remember that.
Ed did one on TV on twat, didn't he?
Yes. You did one on Bluetooth hacking, too.
Yes.
And I was like sitting there because I got this new Nokia phone and it has Bluetooth connectivity.
What do you have, Verizon or Singular?
It's Singular.
Singular works.
And I was thinking to myself, how can I connect? All I want to do was create a ringtone.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's easy.
The only Bluetooth accessible machine I had was the machine that I have from work.
If you don't have one, you can pick up a dongle for about $20.
Well, I didn't go pick up. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out how can I get a song or part of a song into a format that would be as a ringtone.
Most of these new phones play MP3s as is.
I sat there for like 45 minutes trying to figure out how to convert it into a MIDI file.
Yeah,
and I tried looking for your stuff, and then I'm like, well, wait a minute, it plays MP3s.
Yeah, it plays MP3s.
Why bother? So I did it.
The conversion stuff is for like the older phones, like the newer phones, like the Razer and all that crap.
Yeah.
They play MP3 files as is.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna. I heard that episode. What number was that?
I don't know.
I'll tell you. Hold on 1 second.
There you go. Alan's playing MP3s on his Razer.
Pat's episode was Cell Phones and Bluetooth, episode 21.
There you go.
That was a long time
ago. That was a while ago, yeah.
Yeah, that was.
What I want to know is if I can get a Bluetooth headset.
You know.
And have that work under Linux.
You know, that's a good question. Try that.
Because I want to do that in the worst way. You know, have one of the little Bluetooth
headsets. But don't be one of those people, Link.
So that I can talk on
today I went to the Crayola.
Skype or whatever.
I went to the Crayola factory
the
in
people
Easton.
That walk around with headphones.
And yeah. I saw so many people with this stupid Bluetooth headset in their ear. I felt like going over to them and punching them in the face, man. It's like pay attention to your freaking kids and leave the goddamn phone in the car.
See, that's weird because, like, that's the way it is with Link.
That's
he doesn't
problem.
Even have the Bluetooth in his ear, and I want to punch him in the face.
That's the problem. Don't leave your freaking cell phone in the car. Don't talk on your damn cell phone
that's
in the
so
car.
That's so rude, man. It's
don't
like,
talk on your cell
your,
phone in the freaking supermarket.
Pay attention to your freaking three-year-old, man. Leave
don't
the
talk,
goddamn phone in
yeah.
the car.
Don't talk on your cell
Maybe
phone in a restaurant.
Maybe he was talking to his three-year-old over the cell phone.
That's annoying as hell, yeah.
I do hate it when people walk around with those things.
They're retarded. It's like someone smack them upside the head.
You know what? You know what I hate even worse than that? I hate those, what are the Nextel phones or whatever, the ones with
the
walkie-talkie thing?
I hate that.
Holy crap, man, you're walking down the road.
What are you doing? Beep, nothing. Beep, what are you doing? Beep, nothing.
Yeah. And everybody's yelling into it so you can't hear their conversation.
You hear the conversation to block away.
You know?
Beep.
Well, you know, you got the guy sitting
that's
at the,
annoying, man.
At the
they
table
do it at a
restaurant by himself,
right next to you, yeah.
Sitting there talking on his Bluetooth, and then he pulls out his Nextel.
Yelling to it out loud.
You know, that's what I don't get. Why don't people take advantage of all the wonderful features of a cell phone? Because it costs too much money. It's so damn expensive.
Well, let me tell you something, man. You know, technology is great, man, but you got to step away sometimes.
Yeah.
No one is sticking a freaking chip in under my skin, man. The minute that happens, man, it's the end.
That's too late. When I was banging
they're all marked at that point.
I had an RFID.
I hear these, dude, I hear these stories about people getting chip implants at companies and they're paying for surgery. Fuck that, man. Nobody's sticking a fucking chip in under my skin.
Tell us how you really
there was feel. Some story on Dig the other day about the military is going to put chips in soldiers instead of dogs.
No way, man. No friggin' way. Get away.
They probably will.
Dude, man. I don't even go into that.
That's kind of crazy.
They'll wait until the next Democrat gets in office before they do that, though.
Dude, that's...
Then it's the mark of the beast.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking in my head, man. I didn't want to say it, but that's what I'm thinking. It's the fucking mark of the beast, man. We're all going to hell. You know, put a freaking barcode on your wrist, man. Fuck that. Don't touch me.
You can't do that because you couldn't get a good enough print off of skin in order to scan it.
That's so wrong on so many levels.
However, RFID, you know, or some kind of a serial chip implant, yeah, you could probably.
Dude, RFID, man, is
like
so insecure.
It'll have some like 64-bit chip and Pat will sell his computers to get one. Like, dude, I got this in my arm today. It runs 64-bit Linux.
Dude, listen, I draw the line.
I connect the monitor to my ass. And
I draw the line, man. That is so wrong.
Pat is always selling his old computer equipment off, trying to pawn it off to us guys so he can get new stuff. He'll be in here next week with his new AMD machine. Dude, I'm selling this for $150.
No chips in my ass, man. Get away.
I'm selling for $150, man. I got to get the RFID implant.
It's crazy. You're
it has a little nano monitor fits in your eyelids,
right? Companies like implanting yes. employees, man, making it mandatory. I go on a job interview and they tell me I gotta get a fucking chip implanted underneath my skin. I fucking walk out of there.
Now, how do you really feel, though, Pat?
I don't think Pat's being honest. I think he's holding back.
He's holding back.
Would you let them stick a chip in you?
No. I'm not letting anybody stick anything in me. That's the,
every,
the
thank you.
Every day, Link goes to work and Chip gets stuck in him.
Yeah, right.
It's like two dogs.
And I say,
you
stop
to throw
that,
boiling water on him.
Stop that, Chip. Get away from me. Stop touching me.
We're all going to hell, man.
That's what Dan says.
Yes, stop. They call me Chip when I'm at Link's place.
This conversation is like so downhill right now.
Look, Chip's back.
Stop it, Chip.
We need to pull this out of the gutter immediately.
We're not going to see Link for a few hours. Somebody get a pot of water.
How come every time we all get together, the conversation degenerates into, like, you know?
Because it's Dan, that's why. Dan is the common denominator for these conversations.
It's Alan's fault.
It ends up being like gay porn or Dan watching the scat videos or something like that. There's just something fundamentally wrong about that. Can we have one show where we talk about something, you know? You're going to scare these guys off. They're never going to want to come back.
The next show will be on tentacles next then.
Yes.
Tentacle anime.
Oh, man.
I guess I haven't talked in a little while. So
yeah, you speak, Dan.
Yeah, we've gone from gay porn to tentacle sex. Now you guys take it away.
And it's Dan. Dan is always at the center of it.
And you guys are all there together tonight, aren't you?
Yeah. First time. It's the new rug that brought him in.
Yeah, it must be the full moon. That's
this is the cleanest I've ever seen Dan's house since I've known him.
It is clean, man.
It's real clean. I might actually sleep on the floor.
Nice and clean and fresh painted, and there's no essence of pee on the floor.
No hairballs.
Telling you what.
But when are you moving, Dan?
When am I moving myself?
That's
down
the question.
There?
Yeah, that's a good question. You,
at this point,
when
it's pretty much when
in?
I find a job down there.
It's all your house.
Well, I mean, the house, yeah. Well, now all the work's pretty much done. At this point, it's like, you know, we sell the house whether I'm here or not. Because, you know, in fact, they're like, the lady's like, you know, if you're not here, it's better that you not be here when we show the house.
Yeah. There'll be a sheet over the computers in this room.
Evidently, they've met, yeah.
No, you know, she's like, the best thing to do is, like, move everything out and just, you know, not be here when we show the house because it'll go fast.
Yeah, we don't want you here, Dan.
You'll
scare them away.
Yeah, I was outside painting my porch today, and it's like, this car pulls up, and the guy's like, hey, you selling that or renting it? And I'm like, selling it. How much you want for it? So, I mean, people are like,
let me get out my wallet.
Yeah, people are like, you know, asking us, when's it going on the market? So there seems to be a lot of interest in people. I don't know whether, you know, how fast.
Well, you're right down the block from the college over here, so
yeah.
It should go quick.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. If it goes quick, then I'm you know, I don't have a job. I got to go move in with my parents. Back to, that's.
I could set up a cot in the basement, then, if you want.
I thought we'd share a bed.
No. I don't think my wife would like
here
that.
Here we go again. Oh, man. Now you guys know what
it's just
like.
Just a really big bed. It'd be Pat. Pat, Dan, and his wife.
That's what we should have on a t-shirt. A big bed, all of us laying in the bed together. Linux Link Tech Show.
Now these guys have a greater appreciation for how difficult it actually is to do this show.
The Linux Link Tech Show. Get in bed with us.
Yeah.
At least without a couple of dogs sniffing each other.
It could be like the John Lennon, Yoko Ono picture, you know, in the bed with the sheets all, you know, covering strategic parts of the body.
No, there's a whole lot of strategic parts.
It was a really funny thing, man. Do you guys watch The Source with Alan Newcomb, those guys? You know, they do that video cast. Mm-hmm. They had a scene where they pixelated their underneath their waist because somebody from the Lug Radio Forum was complaining that they could see up their shorts. So it's a goof. They pixelated like the crotch areas. That was pretty funny.
What is this?
Yeah, this is the Source video cast.
Okay.
It's really funny. It was a funny thing.
Speaking of that, are you guys going to come to the Ohio Linux Fest next month?
They're in South Carolina.
Yeah, pretty far. No.
It's not any farther for them than it is for us.
It would be nice. I know I'm not coming. I used to go to the Atlanta. I guess it was before Linux World, maybe it was the Atlanta Area Linux User Showcase or something. They had it from like 90, 2008 to 2001. Something like that I've ever been to. But.
Oh, man, you guys got to make a road trip. You should come.
Are you guys definitely going?
We're going. We're going. You should come.
It's
going
to be a long drive.
It's going to be a hike.
It's going to be a hell of a drive.
Are we all going in one car?
I don't think so. I don't know. No way. I mean, we could.
There's no way, man. I got to be, you know, within access to at least a really good window if I'm in a car with Dan, you know.
Especially if we're driving overnight, man.
A good window and no more than hot sausages, man. I just can't do that anymore.
We got to give them that stuff that you drink before you go get a colonoscopy. You know, you drink that stuff to clean it out. We'll give that to Dave like 3 days before.
No, we got to start feeding him Beano, you know. Just like
lots and lots of Beano.
Lots and lots of Beano.
Should be good. We're looking forward to going to Ohio. We're going to meet a lot of cool people there. We're definitely going to have a meetup at some point, I'm sure. Gorkon is going to organize everything.
Yeah, you guys should come.
What was the link said that we're going to go down there, we're going to meet all these great people, Gorkon's going to help us out, and then Link said he's never going to even acknowledge Gorkon while he's there.
Is Gomer going? Gomer's from Cincinnati, isn't he?
Gomer should be there.
I think Shoprod said he was going. He's up in Michigan.
Yeah, we're going to have some people there, man. They're all coming to see Dave, and Dave said, "Nope, fuck you, I'm not going."
And the source guys, I think, are from. I think they're from Cleveland. I think. I thought they were in Colorado for some reason, but they're from Ohio.
This is the 30th of September. Is that when that is?
Right.
Yeah, 30th of September.
Right. I think we ought to all go there, and we can make this like the premier Linux event on the
Midwest,
on the eastern half of the United States, because you know what? The pansy bastards decided that they're not going to have a Linux world anymore on the East Coast.
Is Jeremy going to be there?
I don't know. Send him an email, man. Find out.
Yeah, I was going
to. He goes to every conference.
Yeah. He's at everyone. He's going to be
there. I like Jeremy.
Yeah, we heard about that.
We spent the night together.
Don't ask, don't tell.
We don't have any pictures of that one. Yeah.
The camera broke.
Jeremy had that really nice bed.
They didn't have enough sheets to strategically place around them, I guess.
Dan disappeared for about 24 hours straight in Boston with Jeremy.
He spent the night with Jeremy. He came back to the motel room the next day. He was like rubbing his butt and going, really?
He had another wedding ring on his finger.
I'm so sorry.
I had a question.
It was from sleeping on the floor. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, Dan, I remember you said you were going to tell that story one time. You haven't told it, have you?
What story?
About your evening with Jeremy.
We had a good time.
We'll just leave it at that.
It went out and had a good time.
We want to know any more than that. We were all privy to the first half of the evening with Jeremy, so holy knows, you know, after, you know, and both of them drink like a fish too. I just want to say that. Oh. Right? Like you and Jeremy and Pat was blowing them down too.
I could drink.
You had what? They must have had seven beers or something like that over dinner.
That sounds plausible.
Seriously,
I know, because
right?
The only thing I drink is soda. So.
Yeah, they must have had like seven beers at dinner at least. I'm not talking between all of them. I'm talking each. Right? And then, you know, and then they got up from there and they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm thirsty. Let's go in a bar.
Shit, man. I had better judgment and go home and get some sleep.
Yeah, I'm getting old. I'm going home.
Yeah, there was tequila involved that night. Or something
we didn't have a choice. Otherwise, they'd lock the car behind the gate.
Yeah, that's true. We had the car in the convention center parking lot. And we had to get it out by a certain hour. Otherwise, it'd be locked.
When you start an evening out with seven beers over a half an hour dinner and then you go out drinking afterwards, you know something is going on, man.
Nobody got pregnant. That's all that matters.
Oh, man.
It's all relative.
Now, oh, yeah.
Ohio's looking good, man. We can have a good time there. I really hope that anyone listens to this show or your guys' shows, please come and meet us in Ohio. We're probably going to have a meetup somewhere. Gorkon mentioned maybe some brewing company.
Friday night about 11:30 at Gorkon's house.
We'll go out some brew place and we'll have a lot of beers.
I will publish the directions and everybody just start banging on the windows and the doors. And
Columbus should be fun, man. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's a fun town. I remember a friend of mine from college was in med school there and I went to visit him sometime in the mid-90s, I don't know, 96, 97 or something. And we went to go see... We went to go see Widespread Panic play somewhere at some bar, and it was fun. And we just went out around town. That's a fun town.
Yeah, Gorkon was asking on the RC what night we're going to do a meetup. I would think Friday night would probably be prime. We can't get too loaded because we got to do the show the next day.
Right.
But we'll definitely want to have a good time.
I would rather get loaded Friday night and have to do the show the next day than get loaded Saturday night and have to drive home.
Well, Saturday night they're doing the official convention party.
Right.
Get loaded both nights.
There we go. But we can't get too plastered because we actually got to show up early the next morning.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can show up early. I'm sure the public transport system is better than Boston.
Dan will roll in around 11.
Yeah. You guys have like
a booth? You guys bring a shirt for me?
Yeah, we have a booth there.
What?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be funny if Pat and Alan got drunk and then they woke up the next day and, like, Pat's head was on Alan's body. Like the two-headed transplant. Remember that movie, The Incredible Two?
Ray Milland and Rosie Greer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where do you come up with this crap, Dan?
What was that movie like? 74.
Yeah, where are hilarious.
You? I'm playing the white guy.
Where do you come up with this crap?
I'll be the black guy.
I hadn't thought of that.
That would be hilarious.
You know,
that
would be funny.
What is wrong? You obviously you've had enough to drink because I don't know how anybody's synapses would. You know, curl around to hit that.
The scary part is I knew exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
We all knew what he was talking about, but why was he thinking it?
The man with two heads.
That would be funny.
Oh, God. Those aren't pillows. Little plane strain.
Listen, I got the pictures of Link cuddling in bed with Dan.
That's funny. That was funny.
I wonder if it's still on my cell phone. It might be.
That's funny. You never put that. You should post
it. I still have it on my phone.
That is hysterical. Dan is like, you know, here's Dan. The entire time we're in Boston, right, Dan is forever out partying until, like, the last drop is gone, right? He's the last one to crawl into the room. The last one to try and get any sleep, and of course he's like the last one to get up in the morning, right?
There we go.
Do you still have it?
Yeah, it's on my phone.
Dude, you gotta send it. We'll post it on one of the things.
There's a jug of beer next to the bed.
Yeah. So Dan's laying on the bed and he's all covered up, and I tried to wake him up like 8 times, right? Pat came over from their room and got me and said, "Link, you gotta wake him up and get him up." And I get over there and Pat put this big jug of beer on the bed next to him. And so I snuck in and I laid my head on his head. And I was rubbing his shoulder and I said, "Dan,
wake up, Dan.
Dan, wake up, Dan. It's time to get up, honey." And he's like, it was really hysterical. And then Pat snapped a picture with his phone. It's classic, man.
I'm saving that, man.
You only have fun like that.
Saving it when I really need it.
It's just fun. Get up, honey. He still didn't get up. Like, we went down and ate breakfast, right?
just be lucky that's all he said.
Yeah.
I think Dan was hungover every night. Nothing.
Every morning.
Every morning, he could barely walk.
That's what you're supposed to do when you're there, right?
That's true. You're on a convention, man. You got to have some fun.
Dan and the Shriners. It's funny.
He's got one of those little fezzes.
Except I wouldn't wear it on my head.
That's why it was a little fez.
Yeah. Tiny fez. Yeah, that's not what you said that night.
Tiny
though.
Fez and pasties.
With the little swingy things on them.
The little pasties.
I drove by the titty bar down here on Hanover Avenue, and there was a guy out front. He was like sitting on a busted car seat that was ripped, like it was ripped out of a car in front of the place. I don't know what he was doing. He just looked like he was passed out.
Oh, Jesus.
His head was in his, like, you know, he's holding his head.
That's a picture you have to take with your phone.
I know. I should have. I was like, look at these two guys. The other guy was sitting there with his back against the wall next to a broken mirror. That's some good clientele.
Virtual desktops under Apple.
That was a little painful, too, but it wasn't as bad.
That's innovation right there.
Well, you know what?
There was no such thing as virtual desktops on anything until Apple did it. I just
relax.
Want you to know
whoa, that's not out yet. Just relax. The innovation hasn't arrived yet. It's still in the pipeline. And I'm willing to wait, just like everybody else who is excited.
It's only innovative until Steve says it's innovative.
That's right. I cannot wait. In fact, you know what? I think I'm going to save my money and buy another Apple product, an iBook, a MacBook. When's Leopard coming out?
You going to go? You going to go out and get a $3,000 monitor?
I'm willing to pay $3,500 just so out I can with send an extra $500 to Apple for development of a new iPod.
I don't know. I'm waiting for the new products, man, because I heard they're coming out with an Apple-manufactured toilet. It's called the iShit.
Does it have the little water thing that squirts up and cleans?
It has a little bidet, too. It's a new feature.
It has a little...
Bidets didn't exist until...
Little puff of warm air to dry.
It has a little webcam in it that automatically takes a shot of your poo and sends it right out to rate my poo.
Oh, man.
Thanks, Dan.
Only Dan would know that.
I know. No, I would no freaking clue that ever existed.
They have a new line of female robots coming out called the iSuck.
I thought that was just a mouth. It's just a little mouth on a USB port.
Goes out. Little mouth with a mustache.
Oh, man. Oh.
Oh, shit, that's too funny.
Good thing it's 10:30 because it's really gone downhill all of a sudden. It's
pretty bad.
So when I called Link, I heard his UPS is beeping in the back. I was like, doot, doot.
You have 10 minutes left.
And you know what? The guy, he's like, oh, the power's out. We'll do Conan Link. Link man, Link man. Oh, the power's out. It's starting to get warm in here. And I'm like, man, I don't have air conditioning in here. I'm just warm all the time. You know, I'm just like bathing the thing of sweat. And he's like, it's starting to get warm in here. It's going to get too hot. I'm like, welcome to my world.
That was one thing we didn't miss with last week's show, not being up here with the heat. I think four guys in this room would have been like murder last week.
Yeah, come to think of it, both you and Link were gone last week. You were at Link's place, weren't you?
No.
Lying bastard.
No, it was at my
house.
That's
why he's not gonna watch ya. All right, let's talk about some technology stuff before we start getting lots of hate mail.
We got actually a lot of good mail this week.
No hate mail by Crom. Good thing.
Take that off the screen, please.
Oh, God. What was the other one you put up there? Because I didn't see that. I don't even want to go there.
The bottle guy. That was meatspin.com. Somebody's going to puke.
Why are we watching that crap?
I'm going to puke.
What the fuck, man?
Because somebody posted it on the chat.
Why are fucking people watching that shit?
Because it's funny, man.
There's nothing funny
it's
about
fucking
that.
Gay.
It's hilarious.
Please, man. There's so many other things I'd rather watch before watching that.
Why?
No Windows Crash Radio today?
No, next week. It's a bi-weekly thing now. Tell him what he wants, what he really, really wants, what I want, what Alan really, really wants.
Don't sing, Dan.
What?
Dan, you're
I want a ziggy ziggy ha.
Dan, your selection of music is pretty bad.
Isn't it?
What was that?
Oh, it's better than me. I was doing Love Boat earlier. I don't know why. Well,
that's true.
We were watching something where they were.
Yeah, in fact, that was the very first thing that I heard when I got on the.
I don't know why. It just sort of like came into my mind.
Alan's singing Love Boat.
That's frightening.
Got this dance that's more than real. Drink Brass Monkey. Here's how you feel.
Brass Monkey.
That funky monkey.
But we were actually talking about... you got to fight for your right to party.
Oh, I'm sorry, I have to look those up.
Yes.
Hey, I got the lyrics to Auld Lang Syne, man. Leave me alone.
So last week, Windows Crash Radio... A lot of feedback there.
You got feedback? I didn't see any of it.
Oh, there was some stuff on Hacker.
Yeah.
Media.org. And
you wake up late for school, John Watson, you don't want to go.
Really loved it.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Saw that one. Wake up late for school and you don't want to go.
You ask your mom, please,
and
but she
still says
no.
No.
You missed two classes.
And no homework.
But your teacher preaches class.
Please like he's some kind of jerk.
All
please
right.
Stop.
Your mom stole your best point of man.
You're hurting me here.
Your mom's busting in, says, what's that noise?
I
you don't know?
No, I went away from the page here. Your pop caught you smoking, and he said, no way. That hypocrite smokes two packs a day.
Are you doing the Shakespeare rendition?
No, I'm going to try to do it the Shatner way, actually.
I thought maybe you were doing Masterpiece Theater.
Man, living at home is such a drag.
You know what? Speaking of
now your mom threw away all your best porno
sir?
Bags.
Shatner?
I came across, speaking of Shatner, I came across an LP the other day with Mr. Spock on it, and he's like singing to different
stuff.
Did you download it?
It's
hysterical, man.
Did you download it? He's got like seven albums out.
How about the one with Lucy
Leonard
Nimoy?
Leonard Nimoy does.
Shatner,
and he does nude photography now.
That's frightening. I like Star Trek, but I don't like it that much.
Give me a second, I'll tell you what the name of the album is.
Oh, listen to him lie, and he's got the nude pictures right there in front of him. Killing the show.
It's in 1967, Leonard Nimoy's Mr. Spock's Music from Outer Space.
Yes.
That has got to be some of the funkiest, weird crap I've ever listened to in my life.
I've got to get a copy of that from you. That's hilarious.
Not a problem. That's some funny
stuff. Supposedly they were never on drugs when they did that.
All the way through. I wouldn't bet. I wouldn't bet on that.
He's on, what show is he on now? Boston Legal, some shit like that?
That's Shatner, yeah.
Shatner or Nimoy?
Shatner.
Wait, are you talking about Shatner or Leonard Nimoy?
Link's talking about Leonard Nimoy.
Okay.
They're the same person, aren't they?
Yeah, that'll be. We'll get a lot of hate mail for that one.
I love Star Trek.
I want to get the first Shatner album.
I love Trek, man.
I've got it downloaded, but it's like so
Star Trek
crappy.
Leonard Nimoy wrote a bunch of books, too. He wrote, like, I am Spock, I am not Spock.
Yeah, I have the I am not Spock.
And Shatner wrote Tech Wars, right?
Tech Wars, yeah.
I have his latest album. I thought it was pretty funny myself. Especially because he doesn't sing at all. He just talks through the whole damn thing.
Mr. Tambourine Man?
Yeah, that's a hilarious song. I have that floating around somewhere. But my copy is so crappy that I can't even get it. Like, you know, it doesn't even sound decent when you download it and burn it. It doesn't even sound decent.
Probably get it off the internet somewhere.
I've looked around. I've had problems getting all the pieces.
So what's going on tonight, fellas?
You've had problems getting pieces off the internet, Alan?
Pieces?
If you want, I can pull up Meat Spin for you, Alan. There you can get your piece right
thanks.
There.
That didn't bother me. It only bothered Pat here.
It's horrible.
They took the Santa Claus hat off of it.
Pat was talking about that all the way home.
Horrible, man.
He's like, I can't wait to get home because I'm going to Meat Spin.
Not me. Not me.
You spin me right around, baby, right around.
How many times have you watched it, Dan?
I've seen it three other times. Showed my wife, and I showed two guys at
who
two guys
are you kidding,
with.
Dan? You have it up as a screensaver, man.
He just has the sound muted over on that computer right now.
I am in the process of converting that over to a not only just Theora, but every video format I can, so I can play it no matter what. And have it prosperity. As soon as I get my GP2X, it's going right on there, and I'm just going to plug my earphones in and put it right in front of my face.
The screensaver we used to have of Link, you should turn that in there so, like, you know, the more processes you have running, the faster it goes.
Yeah. The hot Link.
Yeah. We can turn it into hot meat.
And good night, Ben Rev, even though you've already been gone for 5 minutes, so what the
hell? No, it's 10:30. What are you talking about?
Oh, it's a few minutes after 10.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you?
What is wrong
with you? That's right. They extended our time that we keep going over.
Where have you been the past 6 months?
Sleeping.
Hey, are we echoing now?
No, wait a second. I got to turn you down.
You're loud, man.
Because you are like... Okay. You should be good now. Are we echoing?
Okay.
This is... I got to stand up because my ass is killing me.
Yeah, it's killing
Dan,
me, too.
Dan is beating a puppy in some game on his Nintendo DS.
He's not. He's not beating
he's
a puppy.
He's whacking some little golden retriever pup with a stick. Bashing upside the head each time.
That's not nice.
he's whacking a puppy now?
Man, he watches German scat films and then beats a puppy in a game.
I'm not beating a puppy, I'm petting it.
He doesn't That's say anything about the German scat films, though.
I was just going to say that.
He's not beating a puppy.
Scat films? No, well.
He's a pervert and he beats puppies. I am not a puppy beater.
Stroke that puppy. Stroke.
What game is that, Dan?
It's Nintendogs. I gotta walk the dog every day or else he gets upset. And then I gotta pet him and play with
How
him.
How does
a
he
bit.
Know if you miss a day?
Oh, they know.
If
they
you have it
there.
Off, you know?
That's like the. He'll run away if you wait too
that's
long.
That's the Nintendo version of a Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
It's crack.
That's the Nintendo version of a Tamagotchi, huh?
Come back or your puppy will suffer. We will stick pins and needles into its eyes.
I thought the game would really bite and stink, but my daughter got an extra game pack. I decided to try it out, and now, you know, it's one of those things where you got to play it every day. You know, it's like geared for little girls.
You're addicted.
I'm addicted to Nintendogs.
Never thought I'd see the day.
Oh, man.
I can't deal with my own real dog. I gotta do a virtual dog.
Well, you put the real dog to sleep.
We shot
you?
Her. Yeah. What we did is we put her in a big bag and we spun her around outside.
Oh, jeez. Here comes the hate mail from PETA.
When the rains were pretty heavy, we threw her off the east, the bridge in Phillipsburg, east. No, the dog is down in South Carolina. We would never do something like that. I love that dog. Even though it poops a lot, I still
you're the only
dog.
One. Yeah.
Who's taking care of it? Is your mother?
Yeah, she's keeping it for us until we get a house and we can have a dog. We can't have
the
dog.
Is
the
dog
in the
crapping on the floor at your mother's house?
No, because my mother-in-law gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning every day and takes
her
out.
She actually walks the dog.
Oh,
that's the key.
No,
you gotta let it out to crap. If you let him,
she doesn't.
If you go outside, they'll crap
the
out there. I've seen them do it.
That makes sense. You walk the dog, it shits outside.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
walk the dog,
no,
it shits on your modem.
That's right.
No, she she doesn't walk the dog. She lets the dog out all day long. We can't do that here. She lives out in the middle of nowhere. The dog runs around outside all day. Well,
so,
I told you, I
so
let
what
the dog
saying
out.
Is she's trying to get the dog eaten by a bear or something, right?
I let the dog out here.
Little bastard shits all over my house. I hope you get eaten by a bear.
It's
toxic. Get him in the swamp.
Which is a pain because I let the dog out. I forgot the dog was out. The dog was outside for 2 hours. When I finally let the dog in, the dog wasn't even in here 10 minutes, crapped on the rug. I was like, what the hell are you outside for 2 hours before you come in and crap on the rug?
Apple announced that they will be switching to Intel to make their processors.
Oh, my God, no!
That's the big news this week. And, boy, let me tell you, I'm on some technical mailing lists, and some of the guys on there are absolutely flipping out. I have been doing nothing but flipping through emails from people.
I went to an Apple store yesterday, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was like walking into a fucking morgue.
Was it really?
Oh, my God. Talk now, about sewing faces, man.
No, I got a couple
anything.
Of people that
I,
said
I
that
still want a mini.
Stores are selling out, you know?
Give me a G5. I'll pick up a secondhand G5 for $300 on eBay in about 9 months.
There you go. And when you do, get one for me because that's fine with me. Here's the thing. Like, first of all, I haven't seen anything really, you know, everybody's flipping out about, oh, no, x86 sucks so bad and, you know, PPC is so much. They're right. You know, I agree with you completely. The Intel x86 architecture is
is coming to the end of its lifespan, I believe. It has to, right? It has to, because if you were a Unix guy, you have to realize that you only have until 2014 on that architecture, okay? It's right. This 32-bit. 2014, it's all over with, man. Your clocks roll back to 1970, and that's the big deal. That's the real deal. That's not like the year 2000 bug. This is really going to happen, right?
Doesn't that coincide with the end of the world as prophesied?
2014, it might be, right? That's when Unix rolls over and doesn't work anymore. So there, you're going to have to, by that time, we're all going to have to upgrade to 64-bit somehow, right? Or you're not going to be using dates anymore or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, that's going to happen in 2014. So we're not having a whole lot of time. And this is the one thing that I did not see mentioned in any of these, you know, million, bazillion posts I've seen go through on the mailing list or the stuff on the web blogs. No one has mentioned that. Like, Apple is diving into this whole Intel deal. And I don't know if anybody ever thought that, you know, 2014, the 32-bit architecture is done. It's not going to cut it anymore. And, you know, this, in reality, they're talking about getting Apple out on Intel processors in what, by 2007?
2007, I think, is the date for it, yeah.
So, hey, that's only 7 years.
Supposedly, it's been running for 5 years now on it.
7 years they get to ride that way. I believe that full. I have people, friends that actually, you know people in Apple who've been telling me all along that they've been developing all their software for x86.
5 years, I've heard.
Yeah, the whole time. And apparently that's, you know, that's true. But, like I said, if they're rolling stuff into the regular x86 architecture now, which I don't think they're going to, 2014, you know, time's up. So we're going to have to be looking for 64-bit architecture, which is what I assume that they're going to go for, even though no one has really made mention of that yet. However, the other problem with that is I guess they were demoing OS X on a Pentium 4 computer or something like that.
I actually watched it. Yes.
Did you?
I saw the
was it a Pentium 4 they were doing?
It was a Pentium 4 3.6
yeah.
6 gigahertz or 3.0.
Was this a standard, run-of-the-mill box kind of thing?
No.
Was it something?
This is not going to run on standard run-of-the-mill hardware.
You want to bet?
No, it's not.
No, they're
going to not.
I bet that.
BIOS kind of.
No, I don't think they're going to do BIOS. I think they're going to do open firmware.
Right. It's not. It's not going to run on a standard Intel.
Yeah, I think they're going to do an open firmware thing. I'm not, you know, I haven't heard anything really yet, one way or the other. I'm not completely convinced that it's going to be the same architecture. You know what I mean? Like, they may be demoing this stuff now.
On new chipset.
They might be demoing stuff now on x86 kind of chipset, but they might actually be specing something out where, like, it's doing CISC instead of RISC or something like that.
Yeah, but they never said x86 chipset.
That's right. They did not.
Processor.
They did not.
They said processor.
They said Intel, and Intel makes a whole lot of different chips.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
So
the ramp-up time for building a new processor is a lot more than 2 years.
Right. They make a whole lot of stuff, Intel does, and does not necessarily mean that it's going to come together on your average Pentium schmuck box. However, if it's anywhere even close, what's going to happen is Apple is going to put a wicked hurt on Windows. You know, if they can get it anywhere close so that OS X can run on a Windows box, you know, on the same type of hardware, they would just smear them, man. And I hope like hell that that's what happens, but I don't think it's going to.
Now, I do not see that happening. And I mean, I'm just all
I don't either, but I'd love to see it.
That are saying, oh my God, Apple switching to the x86 architecture. Oh, Linux better be on the run.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Next year, because it's over if they can't improve it.
That's what that guy Vaughn Nichols wrote.
They're coming after Windows 2. This I don't see this as the greatest thing since sliced bread.
No,
you know, honestly, of all the stuff that I have read, the only thing that this has convinced me of is they're changing the processor. Whoopee shit.
Right.
It doesn't mean a damn thing, really. That's what I think. Because you're not going to be able to get a Dell to run OS X. It's going to be the same Apple crap architecture. You have to buy it from Apple.
Probably.
You have to get it from Apple.
Probably.
You
unless they're, and, but together. You know someone will put a hack out. If it's at anywhere even near compatible, someone will hack it so
of
that
course
you can
someone
do
will
it.
Hack it.
But I'm not betting. I'm not going to. I'll put my money that it's not going to be a standard Intel architecture box like, you know, we all see coming through Dell or something like that.
What were you going to say, Pat?
I was going to say that...
Enough of you.
To me, the big driver to this is not so much, you know, the smoke screen of, yeah, you know, they didn't deliver the chips we wanted. We wanted a G5 for a laptop, blah, blah, blah. That's all bullshit, I think. I think what really this is about is DRM. Apple is in cahoots with Hollywood and Intel now to get this done. They want to control the media on your computer. You don't own it. You're paying them to let you use the media that's on
yeah,
your computer.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have to go to the processor for DRM.
But they
you can
will.
Put that into the PC.
That's where it's going.
That can be thrown into iTunes on it.
Well, they can throw that. Well,
the DRM can be thrown into iTunes.
You got that whole LaGrande going into the Intel Pentium 4, the new chips coming out, that especially the one that Apple's going with their security. But I don't know any other chips that have that built in specifically like that, all the DRM technology.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So, I mean, I haven't done too extensive research into LaGrande, but that's, you know, that's something that concerns me, just like you're saying, Pat. But I guess there has been some speculation.
You know where
to
Apple's
that
going. I mean, they're grooming everything for... When, you know, they're going to have the equivalent of iTunes for video, you know, that's coming very soon, within the next 5 to 10 years. And, you know, putting all this extra DRM into the hardware is the next step in that progression.
Oh, iTunes for video is coming a lot sooner than 5 to 10 years.
I'm talking about, you know, real movies and everything. And
yeah, it's going to be a lot quicker than 5 to 10 years.
Well, you got Netflix. Don't they have an online rental?
You can do online rental, but you can't view it online.
Well, that's coming, though.
Supposedly, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you buy Apple, you're not going to own anything that's on your computer.
But, you know, before
no,
we get...
it's not your... DRM is not going to take over the world. It's never going to happen.
Well, you know, you could have
Let's
DRM in
down.
Anything. It's just a flag. You turn off that damn flag.
Never
going to
happen. DRM will not win.
You can circumvent it.
Because I won't let it. Damn it.
I hope not.
Just a correction here. It's not 2014. It's 2038 that,
Oh, so then they got plenty of time.
That the iPod craps out on you. 2038, not 2014.
Not our problem.
Hey, I'll still be running Unix in, you know, 2038.
Still have that Spark 10 cranking along.
I probably would. No, it's a Spark 20, but it's probably still be running. You're right.
I want to get back to past DRM issues, but before we do that, I want to get back to you. Because I mean, maybe there is something to do with the DRM issues, particularly with LaGrande, that they have the capability of hooking into that. But the other stuff that we were talking about right before Pat brought up DRM is, again, a lot of people are saying that this is, like, such amazing news. It's spectacular. I can't even see it beating out Windows. The only way I could see it even coming close to being a threat to Windows, or even Linux for that matter, is if it's not tied to Apple hardware.
It's not proprietary Intel hardware.
Right.
If it runs generic enough.
Apple, it's, you know, basically say you're going to be able to run. Now, they did say that you would be able to run Windows on the same machine.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a special port, how they're actually going to do that. Because, you know, the question is, well, if you could run Windows on
Windows on the Apple machine, why can't you run OS X on the Windows machine? Exactly.
But, you know, that's a big thing. How are they going to...
It might be. You know, there might be some really small compatibility layer in there that people can get around and do that. If that's the case, then I expect OS X to take another bite out of the market share from Microsoft. I don't expect it to beat Linux up at all. I really don't.
I don't see it. My thing that I kept reading about, everybody saying, oh, it's going to be. Because right now, basically, they say, well, now you're going to be able to dual boot between OS X and Windows XP. You could do that already with Virtual PC to an extent. Who's going to want to do that? First off, who's going to go out and buy an Apple machine for what? Even if it is the same price as an HP or a Dell or whatever, and then turn around and pay another $200 for Windows,
right?
And then have to pay the cost of the software you want to run on Windows. I mean, really, I don't see that happening. I mean, particularly home users. Businesses, I mean, some businesses, you know, switch between the two. Again, like I said, if they're doing that, they're running virtual PC. If they're running OS X, not a lot of people are doing that, to my knowledge. Seems like a waste of money. Or they're running some kind of like VMware server that's serving it up, you know, over the network, whatever operating system they want to use.
So the OS 9 stuff goes bye-bye finally.
Right.
They're not going to go back and recompile and patch that stuff.
I mean, I tried to rack my brains thinking, how is this going to be a big advantage to a, you know, to what's already out there? What is it? Just because it's running on Intel architecture? It's going to be the same shit.
It is going to be the same
shit. It's the same damn thing. If they haven't switched, I mean, if they haven't switched because it's OS X now, why would they because it's running on the Intel process?
Well, they might because that means that they can run OS X on their current machine, maybe.
But they say you can't do that.
Maybe.
Apple doesn't want you to do that.
Well, don't. Yeah,
maybe in 5 years they'll change their mind.
Don't count your chickens before they're hatched, you know what I mean? They say that you can't run... you know, the old Macintosh, like 789, OS 789 on Intel architecture, but actually you can now, right? So, not that you want to or anything, but there's always those people out there who are itching to make that happen. As soon as they release some kind of OS 10 that's at least partially x86 compatible, somebody's going to get on it and have it ported over and have it running on a regular old box.
So does the PRPC project go bye-bye now?
I don't think so. See, now, I don't think this is really going to have anything at all to do with any of the Linux stuff. If anything...
Mac on Linux?
If anything, what it's going to do is it's going to encourage people working on free software for OS X. It'll encourage them to port it over to, you know, Linux and BSD because it'll be easier. You know what I mean? And vice versa. It's going to be easier for OS X users to get the same level and quantity of free software that we have for Linux now on their OS X machines because it's that much easier to port it over. You know what I mean? You're not porting it. You're not changing the architecture. It's x86 to x86. It just runs right.
Yeah, again, you know, that brings up an interesting point, particularly on the Linux side of things, that if it's going to be a x86 and it's going to have a compatibility with current x86 Linux, you have a lot of advantages there. For one thing that I can think of, that what's missing in PPC, as opposed to x86, I mean, you don't have Flash. There's a lot of video support that's not available. The sound support is not available,
right?
You know, to the extent that it is for x86. I mean, does that mean, you know, is there a possibility that now that they're coming out with this, the projection in a year, x86 architecture, are they just not going to bother with, you know, making that stuff available for PPC Linux? I can see that being a negative impact to the future of PPC Linux.
To PPC Linux. But, you know, PPC Linux doesn't necessarily mean or require that it's Apple stuff.
Not at all.
No, it doesn't.
IBM puts out a wide range of PPC hardware that is really good quality stuff.
But how much of that is used for desktop and how much is
not
for
much.
Server?
It's mostly server.
It's mostly server stuff. So why would you want
there's quite a
video
bit of it that comes out for desktop
playback
too,
and
you know?
Flash support on a server?
There's quite a bit of it that comes out for desktop too. And IBM's, a lot of IBM servers have, you know, things like sound cards and things like that, you know?
But I mean,
I don't think it's as far-fetched
as you
think.
Who has an IBM PPC non-Apple machine?
There's a lot of people that do.
Who uses it? I mean, give me an example. Who would use a non-Apple?
I don't have one right now. Yeah, a lot of companies.
A lot of companies using it as a desktop.
Sure.
To do what?
IBM machines as desktop?
PPC?
PPC.
Darn it.
Yes, there are.
What are they using them for?
As desktops, as workstations.
And what are they running on them?
AIX.
But they're not using it, like, but there would be no reason for video playback or Flash support on those.
Why wouldn't there?
Why would there be?
Why would
they're using a business environment.
So?
Why would you be using
Why would you be Flash using Windows video? In a business environment?
But I'm saying...
No, what I'm saying, you know what I mean? If it's,
why are you going to port?
So stupid to use Windows in a business environment, and that has all of that shit on it, why wouldn't you use something else?
We're talking about Linux here, which is, you know, you have a specific need, it gets tailored towards it. IBM says we have a version of Linux that runs on there. It's not going to be tailored to a desktop user. It's going to be tailored to a business.
Yeah, but it might be. It's like the same thing with HP, right? With HP stuff and HPUX, that has all of that stuff available too. And you have people that use HP machines and they use them in a business environment and, you know, they're audio players and video players and stuff like that. People actually do use that kind of stuff for odd shit. You know what I mean? People use all kinds of weird stuff in their businesses. You can't tailor something down and limit it to only being able to open a spreadsheet. That's when people don't buy this stuff. They want to know that, you know, if they get, you know, if they have this workstation, and whether it's IBM or HP or a Wintel box or whatever the hell it is that's sitting on their desk, if someone sends them a video with a presentation or something in it, or a spreadsheet, or, you know, an audio file or whatever the hell it is, they want to be able to use it right there. So
I don't know. The two points that I'm curious about is whether or not, you know, the level of support for the people that have the current PPC hardware, how much, you know, support are they going to get? Yeah, they're talking about fat binaries and everything, but, you know, what's the deal going to be, say, 2 years down the road? You know, how far along the line are they going to support?
PPC?
Yeah.
Here's an interesting thought, right? And this has happened before, right? Apple has in the past changed their mind, okay? And they made this announcement primarily because IBM is not matching the rapid advancement with their PPC processors that Intel is doing. So it could possibly be that this is a ploy to get PPC chip production, you know, ramped up a little bit and going a little bit faster, and that Apple will continue to do PPC stuff. You never know. That would be cool, but you don't know if it's going to happen. You don't know that it's not going to happen. It's hard to say right now.
The other thing is I went on some of these Apple bulletin boards, and it's pretty split, I'd say, pretty even, people for and against. You know, some people who really, you know, follow Steve Jobs down to the hilt, you know, they've drunk the Kool-Aid, so to speak.
Right.
They say, oh, no, the sales aren't going to go down. I disagree, man. I think the sales are going to fucking drop like a rock.
Everything I have heard in the past couple of days is that Apple is, like, selling like hotcakes right now.
iPods.
No, everything.
Supposedly 50% of their laptops, coming from iPods.
The stuff is selling like hotcakes now because people want to get their last gen PPC products while they can, you know?
I don't know, man. We'll see how it goes, you know?
It's hard to say how much of it, you know, how much of this really is a marketing ploy and what's really going to happen with it. It definitely is interesting to think about. But, do I think that this is going to cause Apple to be, to go down the toilet? No way in hell.
No.
No way in hell. I don't think Apple is going to lose a single cent over this.
I don't think they're going to gain much either.
I don't think they're going to gain a lot either, if they gain anything. I'm sure they're not going to lose any of their market share, though. Like most naysayers are going, oh, Apple's, you know, it's going to be like the next Commodore, right? They're going to be gone. I don't think so. I think, you know, the Mac heads that I've met, when they're Mac head, they stay a Mac head, and they'll buy anything that Apple puts out. Plus, Apple has their own design thing going on, and they're going to, I'm sure, make sure that their new equipment comes out with its own...
Looking like,
yeah,
looking
it's
going to
be
product.
Good looking. It's going to look like an Apple. It's going to feel like an Apple.
Apple
no matter
box.
What, yeah. No matter what kind of a processor or what, you know, whether they have a monkey or a rat and a wheel inside the thing, it's still going to be an Apple computer. It's going to look and feel like it and have that kind of style, I'm sure. And the Mac heads that are around now, they're going to stay Mac heads. Even the ones that are saying, oh, no, I'll never buy Apple again because they're going to switch and they're not going to be PPC anymore. Well, you know what? In the past, Apple went from what was the last architecture they were at?
64.
M68K, right? Yeah. They went from that to PPC, and that was a big jump, too, and everybody followed them there, too. So,
But the operating system improved. That was the key to it, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when they went from 68K to PPC, there's a whole lot of people in there that will tell you that the operating system really didn't improve that much. Because there's some people, even some real Mac heads, that really, really hate Mac OS 7, 8, something. One of them.
Still. Whoopee-doo.
Whoopee-doo.
There goes the air.
I'll check them out anyway, you know? Yeah. You don't know what's going to happen, but it definitely is interesting to think about. I would like to see what's going to happen.
Well, see, I don't know. You know, I sit here and I think, if I'm going to buy a new, if I get in the market to buy a new system or laptop, particularly a laptop, what would I buy? Would I buy another Apple? Or would I buy a PC, Intel-based laptop? I mean, if I buy another Apple, sure, I like it, but there's serious limitations compared to the x86 architecture. And if I buy a Windows-based PC, I mean, yeah, it'd be a laptop. Most of the laptops come with Windows nowadays. If I want to get a Dell.
Unfortunate as it is.
You know, I don't have a choice in the matter, or a Sony Vaio.
Dude, you're getting a Dell.
You can buy SparkBooks.
Yeah, I'm getting a Dell.
Buy a Tadpole. SparkBook.
I don't want a SparkBook.
Why wouldn't you want to? I would.
You know, then I got that whole thing again. Now it's going to be Linux on Spark Technology. And you got that, again, I use it as a desktop machine. Video codecs, Flash,
exactly.
Support.
You want to do what you want to do, video, audio.
You know, one of the most annoying things I have with this thing is I go to a website, I can't see some of the content because it's Flash-based.
Yeah.
That sucks. I don't think it should be like that in this day and age. But, you know, Macromedia is not going to port over to the PPC architecture. They're not going to open up their Flash player, and GPL Flash
is still
a little
ways off. Wait a second.
Up.
Don't say they're not going to port to the PPC architecture because you can view Flash on OS X, can't you?
But that's Apple.
That runs on PPC.
They're not going to... I was talking about Linux. I wasn't talking about Apple. All right? Apple runs on top of FreeBSD, but you don't see Flash for FreeBSD.
Somebody will eventually get it running.
Yeah, eventually. But like I said, again, I come back to the point, why are they going to bother? If Apple's dumping off the PPC, I mean, yeah, we can talk about AIX machines, PPC, IBM's PPC desktops, which are geared towards businesses and, for specific needs. CAD, which is what Gorgon said, ending up on eBay. But I don't see a lot of people rushing out to general desktop users. Now, sure, geeks are going to pick those things up because they're hot ticket items. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
And again,
kick-ass machines.
You know, because a bunch of geeks, start using this Macromedia, say, here we go.
Absolutely not.
Flash for PPC?
Nope.
You know,
well,
I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what? As far as that goes, like, who cares?
I do.
Do you have to have Flash in order to browse the web?
Yes, I do.
A lot of websites.
Because there's websites
I don't.
That have content that I want to look at that have
there's
Flash.
All that porn.
You know what?
Right,
if it's only Flash content, then it's a poorly coded website. They
but
should
even
make
if
it
I
available.
Go,
that's a whole other argument.
Because if I want to go look at
browsers,
a video,
even on
a trailer,
right?
A movie trailer.
Okay.
I can't go on the PPC. I might get the video, but I won't get the audio to go with it because QuickTime playback is kludgy on PPC. Linux PPC.
Well, then there you go. That's another there's another proprietary thing that we shouldn't support.
I understand, but you know, hey, I would rather see it in Fiora.
Start writing the website owners and tell them that they need to provide their crap in MPEG so people can actually look at it. Hi, and welcome to the very first edition of the Linux Link Tech Show. My name is Link Fessenden,
And we also have with us tonight our co-host, Dan Washko, and the ever-popular Mixmaster Jam, Alan Metzler, who has graciously donated some wonderful equipment so that you can actually listen to us today. I guess one of the things that we'd like to do at this point in time on the brand new show is explain kind of what our show is like and what our intentions are and how things are going to work with this show. Dan and I had thought that we might do a nice tech radio show to take care of some of the open source news and technology things that are coming out on the market now, and a bunch of the new software and things that are rolling out for Unix and open source, and keep everybody informed and maybe have a little bit of fun at it at the same time. And basically what we're going to do with this show, or our intentions of the show, is to have a weekly program for some specified length of time where we can talk to everybody and share all of our wonderful opinions that we have. And, of course, you'll be able to listen to it here on the linuxlink.net/8000. The stream every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And after that, when the show's over, we intend on restreaming the show for a week until we do our next live broadcast. You'll be able to listen to it right there or download it from our archives, which you'll notice are sorely lacking right now because this is the first show.
The archives will be up after this show.
The archives will be up after this show, yes. And at this point in time, I'd like to turn it over to Dan, and Dan has a couple of topics he'd like to talk about. The first thing, I think, is Dynabolic. Dan?
Yes, thank you, Link. First off, I'd like to once again thank Alan, the man, for bringing over the mixer and running out the Radio Shack and getting us a new mic. If it wasn't for him, this thing wouldn't be possible today. But equally important is the software we're running this on. This week it's quite sweet because the official stable release of Dynabolic has been put out. It was just yesterday that it was actually made official. 1.0, that's what we're running right here right now, using Muse to stream our mics and other sound effects in.
And this is the third rendition of Dynabolic that we've done so far, right, Dan?
Yes, it is, and all have worked admirably.
They look really fantastic, too.
No. All right, let's move back on to what we were talking about, Mandriva, Connectiva. Pat looks like he wants to say something, because all I see is his head bobbing back and forth between, I see him over
I have a few words to say about Gen 2.
Okay, why?
Well, I picked up a spare hard drive, mainly for my Myth TV box to add more space.
So what you're saying is you didn't learn your lesson the first time, right?
Well, it's been a couple of years. I said, let me check out Gen 2. Let's see if they've progressed. So I downloaded the Universal CD to do the install. I did a Stage 3 tarball, which is, supposedly the easiest of the three. The base install went pretty well. It took about 2 hours. The only thing that bothered me was that even though the Universal CD detected my network card, when I went to do the final kernel compile, when you do a Gentoo install, you have to do a kernel compile at the very end. It's all pretty much manual. No big deal. I've done kernel compiles before. The only thing was, my network card wasn't, set up. It wasn't flagged. So I had to go do a kernel compile a second time. Not a big deal. 20 minutes. My machine was fairly quick, a 2.4 gigahertz machine. With 512 meg of RAM, over my cable modem. Everything's kosher. So 2.5 hours later, I got the base system running. I'm ready to do the desktop. I like KDE. This is a decently fast machine. So I do emerge KDE. 24 hours later, after 107 dependencies are met, KDE starts up. All right. Okay, let me check it out. Comes up, looks nice. It's quick. Is it quicker than, say, Fedora or Slackware or Ubuntu? A little bit. Was 24.
But did you actually want it to be faster? That's the whole question.
The difference was negligible. Was sitting there for 24 hours compiling my machine worth it? 20 milliseconds of faster click speed? Not really. Okay. It's time to start installing some applications, you know. Gentoo comes with pretty much nothing set up on it, which is good and bad. It's good if you want just a base install, you know. You can control what you want on there, which is good, and you'll learn about the system and how the Linux operating system works. It's bad if you're lazy. I'm lazy. We're all lazy to a certain degree. Are there packages available? Yeah, they have versions of packages, you know. They have like an application CD that you can download.
Pat, are you lazy or do you have a life?
I have a life.
There's a little bit of a difference there.
I have a full-time job, I have a wife, and I have a child, and, you know.
And a second one on the way, right?
Soon.
So we'll see. Now, there's no way you can do Jet.
Second what? Second wife or second child?
Second child.
You have to ask these things.
I'm Catholic.
Right?
We don't believe in that.
Well, you know, regardless of what your beliefs are, kids and Gentoo don't mix. Anymore.
Yeah, Gentoo, you know, the bottom line is, I don't think Gentoo is usable as a desktop system. Sorry.
Dem's fighting words.
You want to install Mozilla Firefox?
You know we're going to get emails on this one.
Oh, yeah, freaking people. Gentoo is the easiest damn thing in the world. Yeah.
Let me preface it by saying, for me, Gentoo is not a desktop that's usable, okay? It's great for a server. You know, you install your applications, you get your system running. You only put on there what you want to put on. I'm sure it runs like a top, but
it's the tits.
I can get Slackware running in an hour. It detects my monitor.
An hour?
And my
what are you running
card.
That on? A P3?
Yeah.
20 minutes, right?
Well, you know,
I'll
be conservative here.
All right.
You know, Gentoo, 2.5 hours for a real stripped-down system with a prompt and, you know, the kernel's working. You know, if you want to get any software more than just, you know, a bash, you know, with portage working, good luck. You know, you're going to be waiting a couple days. So that's just my opinion. It's not usable for me. If you want a decent desktop system, run something that has a decent package manager. Personally, I think apt-get is the best package manager for GNU Linux. That's just my preference. Wired's very good, you know.
Okay, Richard.
There's plenty of different package managers, but to me, Gentoo...
And thank you, Patrick Stallman.
...is not a desktop system.
Gentoo's not a desktop system? Too bad.
The Linux Expo, I'm going to go over and tell all those purple haired chicks with all the hardware in their face that Pat doesn't like Gentoo. I want to see them beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
I don't like chicks with metal stuck through their private parts either.
Personal preference. What's the website? What's the hilarious website? Gentoo Ricer.
I forgot all about that. Did you see some of the posts? I posted this on the mailing list today for our lug, and one of the guys was like, Gentoo, for those of us who like the GCC compiler screensaver and don't like to get anything done.
Screensaver.
I love that quote, man. I think I'm going to use it.
The one with the sinking ship? Yeah, that's at funroll-loops.org.
Listen, Gentoo's cool, but it's not for me. Just leave it at that.
Yeah,
you're
so
looking for that Gentoo Racer thing?
Yeah, it's at funloops. It's that fun loop.
Go to the mailing list.
Fun roll.
The link is there.
I have it right here.
Put it in the IRC.
Put it in the IRC. People
guys have to read it. It's really
funny
hysterical.
Stuff.
It is great. Some good stuff about people with their views.
The GCC screensaver.
Yeah. Who posted? Was that Brian that posted that? No.
It
was John, right?
Yeah.
John.
Funny.
Or
very
D-State.
Funny.
It was funny, too.
The GCC screensaver.
I've been compiling for days.
Yeah. I remember my experience with Gentoo.
It was
right
easier.
Here.
The install was definitely easier than like 2 years ago, but I have a life, man.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I was like, oh, wow, I finally got the base system up, and the weekend went by, and I had an X, and I was like,
Oh, yeah, I've seen
I think it's time to compile KDE, and there you go.
24
can't,
hours.
Can't touch the damn thing for 3 days.
On a 2.4 gigahertz machine, KDE took 24 hours.
Dude, that's just insane. Like, how can you justify owning a computer that you can just, you know, I can't, I have like
it ran
seven
like a
computers
bat out of hell,
that
though,
I
didn't
run,
it, huh? Did it run any better?
That extra 20 seconds of clicking, you know, the KDE, bringing up the menus and going to one application, was definitely worth 24 hours of my time, and my computer's time.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Mm. That's it. Oh. What? Damn pop-up. Okay, here we go. All right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, take it off. Yeah. Go. Damn it. Come on. Oh, what's going on? Oh, yeah, okay. That's it. All right. Yeah. There, go for it. Put it on. Prep it all. Shit. All right now. Yeah. All right. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like that. Come on. Yeah. I know it's what you want. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Here comes the money. All right. Here we go, baby. Oh, in there. Okay. Crash! No! Explorer, no! Pop-ups have you missing the money shot? Get your porn the way it was meant to be. Pop-up free. Get Firefox. It's just better. www.mozilla.org.
What's going on in here?
Nothing now. Mozilla Firefox. Don't get caught with your browser down. Brought to you by the Friends of Firefox and the Explorer Eradication Team.